And now comes the time for our wonderful speaker to come up and give us a few words. And this gentleman really knows the Bible, really loves our church, has come here for years and years and years, and he is a recent new member. And he is wonderful. Every time you listen to him, you learn a little bit more about the Bible. And I just look forward to hearing him every time because he really teaches us a little bit more about God and the angel kingdom. And I'd like to welcome tonight our wonderful speaker, Mr. Dan Hare.
I don't know what I'm going to say to following that. I'm kind of curious to hear what I've got to say. I wanted to talk with you, and ironically, not so much a verse-by-verse kind of thing in the Bible, which was kind of more my training, but more conceptually. And I think for those of you that have heard me over the years, I've got this one theme that just it keeps popping up. And I can't get away from it because I think that's probably, for whatever reason, the message that I'm supposed to talk about. And it's the notion of your own narrative. It's always, your narrative about your life. And so often we get caught up in other people's narrative, what other people think about us. And I'm fascinated when I think... in my studies in the Bible, and I kind of focused on the New Testament. They call it Pauline literature, the Apostle Paul. And he was a guy that was a hard-headed son of a gun, just one hard-headed guy. Thought this thing about Jesus and the way was so blasphemous that he was involved with conspiring to kill them, almost like an Osama bin Laden. And people don't really realize that because it's in the holy book, the Bible, and this was the guy that wrote it. But he had this life where he was Saul of Tarsus, and then one day he was walking down the road and a light from heaven blinded him and said, "Saul, what are you doing?" And he says, "Lord, is that you?" And it was an experience. It wasn't quoting some verse. It wasn't having a formula. And I kind of, I've been able to laugh at myself quite a bit lately because, I read a lot and I, read this book and there's that formula and if you do it this way and if you, arrange your mind and in this fashion, you're going to, have this breakthrough. And I suppose in some regards, that's true. If you train your mind, you're going to think differently. That's really where it all comes down to is, what is in your narrative field? And so some of the concepts that really call out to me, one is in Ephesians 1, I think it's verse 3, it says that God called us before the foundation of the world. Before we were even born, he called us by name. It's something very special in line for each and every one of us. And then something happens in our world to so many. And now I know that there's 99% of you that it doesn't happen to, but I think there's one of you out there that it might happen to and that would join me in this kind of a thing. But we tend to forget. And I was thinking about it in terms of a parent and a child. And if you think about a child and Jesus says the kingdom of God is for children, it's you almost like have to think like a child. And I thought, what was that about? And if you think about it, when you're a kid and with your parent, you're present because things are taken care of. If you've got a good parent, you're protected, you're safe, and you're kind of in their care. And there's a sense that you don't have to worry and project about tomorrow or ruminate about the past. And trust me, I project about tomorrow and I ruminate about the past, and that's probably one of the biggest challenges that I have in the monkey mind kind of a thing. And so... he talks about being called before the foundation of the world. And in this book of Ephesians, there's a few other concepts that come out. And one is about dynamic power. He says, that you would be filled, or the power of God would literally explode within you. It would like a firecracker would go off, and that the power, the electricity, the enlivening, the light would somehow come through you, and that we would begin to learn that we're larger than this mass of our brain that projects in the past and future, but in the present, when we trust, this magical thing happens, and we can begin to have love, bliss, all those terms, you know. I find words fascinating these days, and especially from a lot of the studies, some of the coin words are so taboo now, you know, in the Christian faith, that you know, we've got a lot of yogi words now, and namaste and all this sort of things, but they're just words describing an experience inside. And so one of the concepts in the book of Ephesians that Paul talks about, he says, you know, you're the workmanship of God. You're God's workmanship unto wholeness. And the word in the Greek language for workmanship is literally, it's a piece of art. It's a piece of poetry. It's an expression. It's something that's very, it's an artistic expression. So think poetry, think picture, think song. And so I want to tell you a story, and then let's go back to the workmanship thing, and then we'll tie it up. I'm supposed to keep it 10 to 20 minutes, so I'm going to try to keep it real short tonight. There's a tribe in Africa. It's called the Himba, I think it is. And when a woman, they don't mark the birthday of a child the day they were born, or even the day that they were conceived. But they mark the birthday of, they mark the birthday of the child when the mother hears that she's going to have a baby. In her heart, she says, I want to have a baby. And she goes out and she sits under a tree. This is so cool. And she sits there until she gets a song. And when she hears the song, she sings the song. And then she decides who she wants the father to be. So she goes into the tribe, she picks out the father, she teaches them the song. And then they consummate, they make love and they have the baby. And they even sing the song while they're together. And then while the mother is pregnant, she goes and she teaches all of the midwives and the women in the village the song of the child. So before the child is born, the village has a song about the child. And can you imagine how beautiful the song is? That you go out and you create, and that's the day that is marked as the birthday. So it's the co-creation idea. That we have the power to co-create with God. And in that culture, I think it's one of the most beautiful stories I've ever read, is that when the child comes and is born, they sing the song. And when the child grows up, and whether it's a boy or girl, and they go through some rite of passage, you know, maybe it's puberty, and they go out and hunt with the father, or whatever it is, they sing the song. And this is really an interesting thing. If the child acts up and gets in trouble, they bring the village together and they sit the child in the middle and they sing his song to him. That's all they do. They're basically saying, remember who you are. Isn't that the coolest thing? And then when that person, that child, is old, the whole village knows the song of each person. And when they pass, they gather around and they sing the song. And I thought to myself, God, what we miss in our own culture. How many of us have a song or a poem or some narrative, this idea of narrative, about our lives? And as I started to think about it, I don't have one, by the way. And I started, okay, I'm going to write this song because I want to get it right. You know, I got to get this thing right. I haven't got it yet. And I'm, you know, I've been 39 for a long time, and I got to get this song down because it's part of our journey in this life to remember, to hear, to go to that place, to realize what our song is, what our expression is in this world. And so when I started to think about, you know, you don't want to say this or that, and then have you ever started to say good things about I am this and I am that? And then you go, well, that's bragging. Mm-hmm. I'm this and I'm that. You know what I mean. But as I read the story and as I thought about the Apostle Paul saying, you know, you're God's workmanship, you're his poetry, you're his piece of art, you're his novel, you're this magnificent expression of the very life of God, I thought, wow, I need to write a story, a song. And what I want to kind of challenge you, let's all write songs about ourselves. Oh, how selfish is that? Let's write a song about our dreams and our visions. And you know what? I believe that for me at least, one of the challenges that I have is I get so caught up in, what do they call it? Wanting the breakthrough. You know, wanting that breakthrough. I want to get the formula down. I want to get the breakthrough. You know, it's because that's the thing. You know, you want the breakthrough. And the reality is, it's like so often I find myself asking for things that I already have. And I'm looking for some kind of an emotional thing when it's right there. And it's, it can be emotional, yes, but it doesn't have to be emotional. It's a state of being. I think that what we ultimately want to end up with in our lives is feeling this total confidence in our state of being, in our relationship with God. Now, you know, some people get upset if you call it the universe or, you know, to me it was Jesus that I talked to and that resonates to me. I don't care what your deal is, but get to that place. You know what I'm saying? And I'll close with this. There's a wonderful verse. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still." And it's kind of the idea that rather than talking and praying and requesting and even being praised and giving thanks, be still. And calm your mind so that it's so calm that it's not about thinking, it's not about projecting to the future or ruminating on the past, but get to a place where you can just be aware. Like, you know, feel your body, feel where the dis-ease is, breathe through it, and just be in that total place of calmness and quiet. The ABC News guy, Dan Harris, I was listening to him on the radio coming down, wrote a book on mindfulness. It's kind of a different word for meditation. And he says if you just took 5 minutes a day and became mindful, which is not thinking, it's kind of not thinking, it's awareness, and begin to ponder in this awareness state, in this total relaxed state, your narrative of who you are, what your purpose is, and don't project it. Just be with it and hold on to it. Because every one of us in this room is a masterpiece. Whether it be song or painting or poetry, there's something magical and special about each and every one of our lives. And the beauty is we're all different. We don't compete with each other. We're uniquely different. And that's kind of the beauty of, quote-unquote, the body of Christ, is that we all have different gifts and talents and things that give us joy. And so that's what I want to encourage all of us to do, is ponder the sacredness of building your own narrative. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. That's very, very wonderful. I just wanted to, I really think it's great, because we are spiritualists here, and for those of you who don't know, we're a Christian spiritualist church, and so that's where Dan fits in talking about the Bible, which is really awesome.